Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove with the Limitless Podcast. And today I have an amazing guest. His name is Craig Judah. And I'm really excited to have Craig because not only has he helped me through the pandemic about wellness and improving my wellness game, he's also going to help you and inspire you on your wellness game within your creative journey. And I know, Craig, you kind of started into wellness and fitness as a little bit of a pivot because you started with a long career in the finance market and doing trades. And so that's a really interesting pivot. And I was wondering if you could kind of share about how, you know, as an entrepreneur, because being an entrepreneur and pivoting, how that, like, how did you start, I guess, with this pivot and change from finance to wellness?
Well, lucky enough, I worked in a family business for 18 years that traded stocks. And we noticed that that type of, we do institutional trading, which is like big block trades. We realized that business was sort of becoming a dying breed. And so what we did is we pivot. Our business was acquired 3 times. I was born and raised in the industry. Grandfather started in 1929. My father took over. My brother's CEO. My other brother was a trader. It was a lucrative business. It did very, very well. After a third buyout, it became sort of an opening for me, not financially, but to do what I pursued. I played college sports at Pepperdine for a little bit and transferred to USC and noticed that teens and kids were not moving their bodies and hearing a lot of parents complaining about it. So doing all the coaching I did for 10 or 15 years, I saw that there was a market of an ability for teens that are not really good in sports, teens that are struggling mentally through addiction and et cetera, to open up a business. And so I opened a place called WOLA, Workout Los Angeles, on the corner of 3rd and Fairfax. It was a gym that did high intensity interval training with my business partner at the time, 2 separate gyms, one for teens that was 13 and below, another was 14 and above. And they did the same exact exercises, adults on one side, youth on another side, moving your body in a positive environment. Really, really motivating and meeting the client where they need to be. And that's our biggest approach. And from there, it transferred into me closing the gym down during COVID and going online like many businesses and pivoting and where you and I met and started our journey through fitness. And one thing I always promote after you ask another question is, if you don't work out with me, I have no problem with that at all. I want people to move their bodies consistently for the benefits, not just for the physical part, but for the mental part. And so my approach is really, really mental.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And I find creativity is really interwoven in that because just like you're saying, you know, movement and shifting your mind, when you start in the morning and you move, it kind of helps shift your day. And I was wondering, like, if you could talk about, like, what is your style and format to addressing working out, and how do you get some of the people that maybe are stubborn about movement to get moving?
So you can only walk the horse to the trough. You can't teach them to drink it. So my job is when I see somebody that asks me, I know that's the first step of want. When somebody wants something, then they're going to achieve that. If they don't want it, that's where I come in and I start to do my motivation part. It's really important to move your body, not just for the physical benefits, but more importantly for the mental well-being. If you start your morning off getting your natural endorphins, your serotonins, your dopamines going, your natural chemicals, it lowers depression, it lowers stress, it opens up your body, opens up your mind to open up discussions. So for me, it was very, very important personally to work out in the morning. I love working out in the morning to start my day. I have clients starting at 6 a.m. to 12, and then I sort of pivot my business, which we'll talk about. But for me, it's getting it going. And so for anybody that it might be a walk, you know, if you want to start fitness, it's going for a walk 5 days a week. Start going, getting your process, it could be a half a mile, it could be a mile, whatever it might be. You will want to start doing more once you start feeling better. It is naturally feeling better. I've never met one client in the 7 years I've been doing this that has said, I feel worse about accomplishing a workout. I've never had it, nor do I think I'll ever have it, because you do feel better. You're getting things naturally going. Your body's feeling good. Now, does it hurt? Yeah. When you start from the beginning, muscles are waking up. And the way I relate it to teens and adults in this day and age is, if you don't have gas in the car, it doesn't work. If you don't put fuel in your body, that's your gas. You're not feeding your body. In this day and age, if you're driving an electric car, if it's not charged, it doesn't work. I am charging your body, getting those pistons moving in your body, getting your mind flowing. That is the game changer. And you'll start seeing the individual change, and that individual change will work into friendships, family, promotion of others working their body and living a healthy lifestyle. So that's my major concept of it.
That's amazing. And I totally agree. And I feel like I've absorbed that during the pandemic, working out with you virtually. And I know some of our listeners are all over the world, so maybe they can join you also virtually for a workout too.
I work with clients all over. So from New York to Texas, California, you know, in the past there was somebody in Germany, but that's no longer because the pandemic has changed. But yes.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think like any way to get your body moving, it is a great thing. And we've been talking a little bit about the power of pivoting. And I find that like pivoting is a very important thing to creativity. And my one question for you is during, you know, the pandemic, it was interesting times, I guess, like changing and pivoting your business and also adhering to the client. I guess, how do you do that? And how do you find the creative ways of doing that?
For me, pivoting, when I took 1 week off during the pandemic, we closed before. Now I'm a smaller shop. I'm not comparing myself to SoulCycle or anyone, but we dealt with youth. We realized right before the pandemic hit that it was starting to get really big. We needed to shut down to protect kids and families. And then a couple days later, everything's shut down. I took a week off. And just like everybody, I'm like, what is going on in this world? Like, how am I going to make money? What's going on? How am I going to support my family? And then the phone call started coming. Hey, we do a 9:30 class in the morning. And my mindset was, I cannot charge people right now. People are struggling, you know, from the get-go. Let's figure out how to do this. So I had an open class from 9:30 and I did 5 days a week, actually 6 days a week. I did it for two straight years. I took and taught every single class. My body probably was not happy with my recovery. But what I will tell you is I spoke to a lot of people and it turned that way. Then it turned into me working with a lot of therapists that are friends who cannot work with their own kids. Like, you can come over to our house, we'll set up, you can stand outside, they'll be inside, wear a mask, clean all the equipment, bring your Clorox wipes. And then I start working with a lot of kids again. That's where my business completely pivoted. Like most families in today's society, I have an immediate impact with somebody in my family that deals with mental health. When I saw that, I realized that all the big corporations and companies don't allow teens to work out or don't attack the mental health. And that's what you see on your hat now. My motto turned from we bring the workout to you, to mental health through fitness. I've known for a fact now that I work at IOPs, which stands for intensive outpatient. I work at PHP, which is partial hospitalization programs. I work at extended care for teens. I work at residential treatment for teens. And I also work at young adult and adult facilities for people battling addiction, mental health, bipolar, dual diagnosis, transitioning. For me, I know for a fact through studying and working with St. John's, Cedars-Sinai, Children's Hospital, three different pediatric groups, working your body out improves your mood. It decreases depression. It increases blood flow. It gives you better sleep. It increases self-esteem. It increases stress relief, down stress relief. It promotes social interaction, and the physical and emotional benefits work together. So for me, the pivot was more to the mental health. I realized that all these mental health facilities, which are very difficult to get into because you have to be cleared, you're working with somebody who's in treatment and trying to save their lives, period. Majority of my clients from the afternoon are all been suicidal from 13 to, let's say, 80. And I will tell you that there is drumming, there is yoga, there's meditation. What I noticed, there was nothing to get your heart rate going. And that's where I started seeing the teams that I was working with and privately at the facility didn't. And that's where I came in. And I said, here's the deal. Like most families, I deal with mental health in my family. I know how to do this. And I'm very confident in what I do. I got my degree in group fitness and private training, and then also have behavioral change, youth specialist and a senior specialist. It's been a major, major impact on my life working with people that are struggling and meeting them, not where they are, meeting where they are now, not where they were. So I take clinician notes on all my clients that I work with these facilities. I don't look at any medical records. I choose not to. I go in blind. I don't want to judge why they're there. My job is to be there for 60 minutes to get their body moving, to get their natural things going, And don't get me wrong, I hear everything across the board. And there's things that I hear that I can't believe people have to deal with in life. I don't want to cry. So there's a lot of things that go there. So take a big breath, relax. So I deal with that a lot. I work on my own personal self, and I understand people need to move. And my job is to promote it as much as I possibly can, being on a podcast like yours, working with a person like you, and seeing how you smile makes me smile. Those are things that motivate me, seeing people in a positive environment.
It really has a ripple effect. Because once you get your body moving, and then you kind of impact others because they see your body moving, they see you in good spirits, then it's like, wow, okay, what are they doing? What's in there? You know, what are they drinking in the morning or doing that I may be missing? And I feel like with creatives and also being an entrepreneur, you kind of have to wake up and pivot and change. And then also, you know, get your body moving too. So, you know, just, and also I think like, inspiring others. And I think you're doing that like just by helping get people moving.
Yeah. Our society right now, 40%, it could be 39.6%, but I think it's around, let's just round it to 40%. 40% of adults right now are considered obese. 31.6% of those are overweight, and 7.7% of those are obese. And in teenagers, ages from 10 to 17, it's 17% of our society is obese. There is a problem in our society. I understand it. I have family that's bigger, taller, bodies are built different, genes are different. I get it. Not everybody's gonna be skinny, not everybody, everybody's body is whatever they choose. You can still be healthy. You can move your body. You can eat better. We need to address it. And I think part of the issue is, you know, there's an abundance in America of food. I'm not saying it's bad, but you look at Japan and you look at there's certain societies that live longer eating white rice. You know, people say stay away from it. Well, they're doing something there because they're moving, they're active, they're moving their bodies. And for me, I think the most important aspect of anything in fitness is four major things when it comes to mental health and addiction, especially mental health. And there's four aspects of it, maybe five that we can look at. One, if you're dealing with mental health, is taking your medication and working out. Two is having a mindful practice, having a discussion, you know, or a mindful drive to do something. Find that drive. Three, nutrition. Hands down, you have to eat better than just going to McDonald's. I'm not putting McDonald's down. I'm just saying you can't just eat fast food. You need to have something that is better for your body, and maybe see nutritionists for that. I'm not a nutritionist. I do have people I can connect you with. On the other hand, and the fourth thing is a social connection. You have to be able to have a social connection. Everybody needs somebody, no matter what. And I know a lot of people are introverts. I was raised with a lot of introverts. There still needs to be a connection. So if you can take care of yourself through nutrition, exercise, mindful discussions, and social connections, our world would be a lot better. And I'm just one part of that when it comes to fitness. But my fitness is not, I'm not a normal fitness guy. I'm not a normal fitness guy, right? I'm not a big rip guy. I am a person that understands the importance, not physically, but mentally. And once you get the mental part, the physical part starts falling in place.
Yeah.
That's why we're mental health through fitness. That's why we're there. I'm not saying it for a catchy phrase. I thought about it for a long time. Do I put a tag mental health through fitness on my company? And for me, it's the mindset. If you work out, if you move your body physically, you mentally feel better.
No, and it's so true. And I think as creatives, sometimes creatives are always thinking of ideas, and sometimes they're like, oh, I don't have time in my schedule because maybe I owe some recordings here. Or I'm working on a book, you know, and I'm too focused on that, you know, manuscript or whatnot. But I think finding that little slice of time will help you go further with your creative works when you find that time. Yeah.
And you could do these times. So our workouts that you've done are 50 seconds on, 10 seconds off. It's 9 exercise. We also do 45 seconds on, 15 seconds off. Tabata, Dr. Tabata started this in Japan years ago with the Japanese speed skating team. And what he did is burst energy, meaning he did 20 seconds of hardcore exercise. If it's skating as hard as you can with a 10 second break, and then get back into the next exercise. So you're exerting this energy, calming the body down, exerting the energy. So for us, it's having BPMs of like 135 and above, getting your heart rate up. When we slow down in our stretch, it's lowering the BPMs to 78 BPMs. I don't really look at that as much as I used to in the beginning of this, but I do understand what music does to your heart. You need music to work out. I don't care what anybody says. There will always be music in every single workout. If you're a client of mine and you say you don't want it, there's one thing I will not give in, and it is music. I'll play whatever you choose. It might be classical to motivate you, but I'll do my best to make sure that goes. But for me, it's meeting people where they are in their life and doing it. So if I can do 20 pushups and you can, client can only do two, cool. Do those two. Do proper form, keep engaged, up and down, breathing in and out. We will build. There has to be a baseline, right? And so that baseline can gradually grow as long as you choose to make it grow. And guess what? You will regress. So as I talked to a lot of therapists and work with a lot of therapists, I heard something that was said by a therapist by accident. He said, it's a work in process. And he meant it. He goes, oh, no. I mean, a work in progress. And then the entire group that I was speaking to were a therapist and a couple of people like me. And it said, that's the best thing you said all day. And he's, what do you mean? He's like, so the crowd starts saying, it's a work in process, meaning that you're always processing, going forward and trying to progress, but it's not always progression. You could be moving forward, but that might be two steps to the left today. It might be three steps back on Wednesday. And on Thursday, it might be three steps to the right. But you're in the process of progressing forward. No matter how far we step back, you are progressing. You're learning if you choose to. If you choose to learn from your mistakes or what's going on, your path will go. And I truly believe, like, I used to be in a lucrative business. It's not as lucrative. It will be, because I'm in the process of building. It's a stepping stone. It's a process. And the more people that hear it, people like you that offer podcasts where I can discuss things, it is a game changer. So businesses working together, you being an entrepreneur, me being an entrepreneur, this is where things click and spread the word. And so that's why I do it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's really about collaboration and coming together and community. And that's why I love sharing insights about creativity, because there's creatives in every scope. And just like you said, it's a process. And we're all in that process and progress. And the one question I have for you that I ask all my guests is, what's this one word that connects you with creativity?
Resilience. I'm a very resilient person. And I'm also somebody, I made a pact with myself years ago when I started working on myself mentally. I started seeing a therapy. I'll be turning 49 next month. I worked on myself the last 9 years. I now seek therapy again. I went through a divorce after 27 years. So you guys are going to get that. So, you know, you need to speak to somebody. I took a vow to myself to learn every day. Take one lesson and learn one lesson every day. For me, learning is probably the real key word, but resilience, no matter what gets in my way, no matter how tough it is, no matter how difficult life can be, I will fight through it. I will be resilient. I will land on it. And as my friend says, it's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he says, Craig, if it falls over, you're always going to land jelly side up somehow. And so I always say it makes no sense at all, but he's a very creative person. I'm the guy that's going to land jelly side up. And the reason I'm going to do that is because my mind's that way. I used to be half empty for many, many years of my life, thinking like, okay, well, that's already half empty. You know, it's not going to be it. I don't look at life at that at all anymore. I look at it as like, there's an opportunity. What can we do to make the best of it? And it's up to me to follow through to make that opportunity. I might need help. I might need to call up Lori. I mean, advice. I might need a connection. I'm not fearful of asking for it. If you don't ask, you don't get. It's a number one rule in business. If you don't ask, you don't get. The worst case scenario is the answer is no. And that's where you started. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't like asking for help. I've learned through being an entrepreneurship, through my other company, that you have to. And when I started this company, I was really lucky to have the USC, University of Southern California, graduate class come over, and they worked in the communication, Annenberg Communication, and study my company, giving me ideas, suggestions. And these are all people that have left nice jobs. Only problem is they didn't have a budget. So they were spending a lot of my money in their minds that I couldn't spend those. But I see potential in most people's businesses, no matter where it is. And some, you know, you have to be truthful and say, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. But resilience, 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 resilience.
Yeah, that's such an amazing word, resilience. You know, that it kind of coincides with limitless, because, you know, you're limitless and resilient. And all of our listeners that are listening all over, we're so thankful for you and thankful, Craig, for sharing your work, because really we're resilient as creatives and we just keep bouncing back and pivoting. So thanks, Craig, for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. This was awesome. I really, really appreciate it.
No problem.
I'm not free, free with me.